Well, hi, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to Stop Telling You to Relax. I am Veronica, the host of this podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be speaking with a mom out of Chicago. Her name is Samantha. She is a single mom of three teens, which I have one teen. I can't imagine three. My goodness. She's also an esthetician, a licensed esthetician, and a podcaster. So she has many, many roles and wears many, many hats, and she does it very well.
Hey, Veronica, thanks for having me. Yeah, like you mentioned, I'm a licensed esthetician. I also just got licensed in functional medicine. So my main focus is internal, like inside out health for the skin. Yeah, I have three teenagers, two boys and a girl. Life is kind of crazy right now.
Yeah, I bet. What are the age ranges of all your teens?
So my daughter's 13 and then my boys are 14 and 18.
Okay, nice.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about yourself, just your life, you know, growing up, where you're from, what your family life was like growing up, and just who you are.
Yeah. So I'm in a suburb of Chicago, been here my whole life, pretty much. I mean, I'm in different suburbs, but yeah, haven't left.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that area is beautiful. I've never been to Chicago, but it seems lovely.
I'm the oldest of three girls. And, you know, I had a pretty like easy childhood. Both sets of grandparents were alive until I was a young adult. And so everybody was super close. So I think I grew up in that era of, you know, watching Disney princesses and thinking like, oh, I just have to meet the right one and live happily ever after. So unfortunately, you know, I had a string of bad boyfriends over the years. And so ended up meeting my ex-husband and he seemed like a dream. And unfortunately, you know, you get married and then you realize, like, as you're into it, you're like, you know, this isn't what I envisioned it to be. So,
yeah.
You know, then you have kids and it's like, okay, now what?
Yeah. I've heard that. I've never been married, but I definitely have had relationships and I've heard from other people. It's not all that it's cracked up to be, really. And it's not, or it's not what it's portrayed as in the movies, marriage and kids. It's a lot harder than it's portrayed to be. Okay, so let's just kind of get into the nitty gritty, the juice. So let's talk about your ex-husband, how you met him, how long you guys dated, kind of what the relationship was like for you pre-marriage, pre-baby.
So I met him through his brother and sister-in-law. Her and I are good friends. Mm-hmm. And they introduced us. So it was kind of like, oh, this is great. Like, you know, we would go on double dates and we were all hanging out. And, you know, it was just great. I was like, oh, this is wonderful. And then when we got married, you know, they got married right after us. And then, you know, my sister-in-law and I had kids together. So our kids are the exact same ages. We both have three. So it was always like, it was great. Like my sister-in-law and I used to get together all the time and the kids would hang out. It was like family stuff was great because it was easy. Like the kids had a buddy and it was nice. So, you know, my ex was very charming, you know, and I feel like I was really young. I was 22 when I met him. And again, like I was looking to get married and start a family. So kind of, you know, that's what I was looking for. So I feel like he just seemed to fit and check all the boxes.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember being that age and thinking like, I'm going to get married, or when I was a teenager, I'm like, I'm going to get married when I'm 24. And now that I'm 40, I'm like, 24 is so young to get married, 23, 24, even to have children. That's the age I had my son when I was 24. Okay. Just thinking now, like, oh my gosh, it's so young.
You were still a kid.
You're still a kid yourself. Like, I feel like it's just so young. It's scary. It's almost scary how society has like painted that timeline as the appropriate timeline to get married and have kids, you know, 20 is early 30 or I don't know. It's just, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's very young. I think it's too young, you know, to do all of that for most people, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Nowadays it is. But I also look at like my grandparents and parents and they all get married super young. Yeah. And I think back then it was like normal. Now it's like, wait, that's young.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, life is just so different now that it just being young, it's like, why would you get married that young?
Yeah. I think too, our generation, like millennials, we were kind of right on the cusp, especially as women, like, you know, right on the cusp of like, oh, it's okay not to do those traditional roles as an adult. A lot of women our age, like the millennial age group, a lot of us have gotten away from maybe those traditional roles or the or just maintaining that traditional lifestyle of like staying together for the kids and kind of just putting up with it, right. You know, putting up with a lot of the major ups and downs of a marriage, I guess, or I don't know. I feel like we're kind of in a dilemma almost. Gen Z, I feel like, is very like very super opposite of what the social norms have been. And our generation, it's like people are kind of stuck in the middle, like, is it okay to do this? Is it not okay? Like, what do you know? We're in a weird spot. Yeah. So you said your ex-husband is very charming. What, if any, were there any red flags prior to getting married that you may have overlooked just because you were in love with him and you wanted to get married?
Oh, yeah. I'm like, there were actually so many now that I look back. I'm like, but I swear, like when you're in those moments, you're not looking for that stuff.
Yeah.
You're just like, this is what I want to do and I'm going to do it. Like that's kind of your mindset. You're ignoring all the signs.
Yeah. Because, and I think you don't know until you know either.
Right.
I can say that's the exact same thing about my son's dad. I had never really dated all too much prior to him really. And just had never interacted with somebody like that. So it's like once you're aware of those red flags and those behaviors that are very that are not great, you can move forward in a different direction. But you don't know what you don't know. You have to experience it to know. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How long were you guys married for?
11.
Oh, okay. Okay. And once you guys started having children and you were experiencing pregnancies and postpartum, what was the relationship like with him? Because that's I've found in talking to a lot of women that point of where the lifestyle starts to change, you're having children, you're postpartum, your needs are different. That's when the relationship can really start to shift and the man, you know, maybe your partner, their behavior changes. So was that your experience?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's funny because I remember thinking when I first left my ex-husband, my kids were really little. My kids were 3, 4, and 8 when I moved out, and I was all by myself and I'm like trying to raise these kids. And there was another mom who I became friends with, and she's like, I don't know how you do this by yourself. And I looked at her and I thought to myself, I'm like, I've always done it myself.
Right.
So I feel like, you know, that was my role. Like my role was caretaker. I cooked, I cleaned, I took care of the kids. So, you know, I quit my job to be home with the kids.
So you were a stay-at-home?
Yes, I was. And it was very, like, I felt like I was trapped in, like, the 1800s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine. So. Yeah. I've always been a single mom the entire time I've been a mom, I don't know the experience any different. And I have days where I'm like, or especially when my son was younger, not so much anymore, but I had days where I was like, oh, I wish I could just stay home. And only thing I have to worry about is the home and the kids. But then I think about it and I'm like, well, then I just wouldn't have as much autonomy. Like you just need to get out of the house. You need to be around other adults.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and there's nothing wrong with being a stay-at-home mom. I think if you can do it, you can do it. But a lot of us just wouldn't have been equipped for it. It's very hard.
Yeah. That's why I started my business.
Yeah. That's when you started your business, when you were married?
Yes. And my oldest was 2. So our house had a basement entrance. And so I had my ex build me a little facial room in the basement so I could do facials, you know, kind of during nap time and you know, when I put the kids down for bed. So that's kind of why I started my business, because I loved being a stay-at-home mom, but it was like, yeah, I need more. I need to like have, I need to have a sense of like self during that time too. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did he expect like, well, you've kind of already answered it, but the traditional gender roles, like you do all the cooking, all the cleaning, and I'll just work and come home and go to sleep, or, you know, I don't know.
Pretty much. Yeah. Working was not his favorite thing for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Okay. Yeah. That must have been really tough. Yeah. I'm so much older now. I would hope that anybody that I would eventually marry wouldn't want to do those traditional gender roles, but I don't know. The patriarchy behind it all is just very, I don't know. It's very concerning to me. It makes me not want to get married because I'm like, I'm not going to be the only one cooking or cleaning or no way. Yeah.
I think it's different now. I feel like most of the moms that I know, I feel like it's pretty shared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also think too, especially at our ages, like a lot of men have gone through maybe one marriage and they're divorced and maybe they realize like some mistakes they've made. So hopefully they're working on bettering themselves. They won't repeat the same behaviors or have the same attitude or demeanor in a new marriage or relationship they get in, hopefully.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So besides the caretaking piece of your marriage and the gender roles, what was your life like when you were married to your ex-husband?
I feel like that's kind of when I tried, like I started becoming more independent because, you know, it almost felt like we were roommates. Mm. You know, it was like we were focused on the kids. And then it was like when the kids were in bed, then it was just kind of like I did my own thing. He did his own thing. And, you know, it was kind of very, you know, very roommate-ish.
Yeah. I've had so many friends that have been divorced say that, like, we just turned into roommates. Like, it was just all about the kids. Or they realize even further, like, after once kids are grown and they're, like, out of the house, they're, like, you're looking at the person you've been married to for 20 years and you're, like, who are you? You don't even know each other anymore.
Yeah.
That's tough. If any, what advice could you give to a new married woman to maybe avoid their relationship turning into a roommate situation? Is there anything you think can prevent that from happening?
I mean, I think it depends on the couples. Like, I feel like if you establish a good friendship, I think then you have like more of a solid foundation.
Yeah.
But again, you know, when you're young and you get married, you don't even know what that looks like. So it's like you don't understand the friendship part of it, where it's like you need to be partners and you need to kind of see eye to eye on everything, you know. And I feel like then if you bring children into the mix, since you're both on the same page, it would be a lot easier, be better to like maintain that relationship.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I've heard that advice too, like being friends and doing things to maintain friendships and in your relationship is a big part of it being successful eventually. So was there a particular moment that you knew, like, this marriage is over, I need to leave? What did that look like? Just run through that kind of that time when you were like, this is over and I need to move on.
Yeah. I don't know if there was there was a particular moment. I think it was leading up to it. Like, it had been building and building and building. And there was an incident at my son's first communion. And that was kind of like the, okay, this is it. I'm done.
Straw. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, that's it. I'm done. I need to move on.
Yeah. What did your support system look like when you decided to leave? Like, as far as your family or his family, did you have the support to help you move on and move through that transition?
Yes. Except I did it a little extreme. So here's the juicy part.
Okay.
Because I'm in Chicago and I hate the winter, I was like, I'm going to move out of state. So I packed up the kids and we moved to Austin, Texas for a year.
Oh my gosh. Wow. What was your ex-husband's reaction? What were your family's reactions?
I mean, my parents knew they weren't happy. They're like, you need to be here. We need to help you, because I had no help down there. So that's why I only lasted a year. You know, and my ex watched me pack. And then I think he didn't believe I was actually going to do it until I actually moved out. So it was very strained.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Did he contest that at all and try to go to court and say, you need to bring the kids back? No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And then once I moved back, you know, I moved in with my parents. My parents had to fly down, help me pack up, bring all of us back. And then we lived with them for a couple of years.
So,
I got back on my feet and tried to establish myself.
So what would that's amazing. That's a twist I didn't think you were going to pull out. That's
like, most people don't know this about me.
Yeah. Wow. What attracted you to Austin?
The warm weather. I wanted warm winter. I don't know. There was just something like drawing me there. You know, when there's like something in your heart and you're like, I need to follow this.
Yes.
That's kind of why I did that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel about, I'm considering, and I probably will once my son graduates high school in a couple of years, moving to Las Vegas. And not like, obviously there's the strip and that's a fun part. But if you go outside of Vegas in the Las Vegas Valley, there's all these cute little towns and it's just like anywhere else, you know? But I don't know why I'm drawn to it. Like, I just, I'm like, I want to live here. Like, I don't know why. It's like something that I want to do. So I think I'll probably move there after, you know.
You should. You should follow that.
Yeah, I definitely want to follow it and just see. And part of it too is I've always had a thing. I don't know why. It's probably a tough job to have, or not as glamorous as it looks. But I've always wanted to be like a cocktail waitress at a casino. I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's just something I'm wanting to do. And they make pretty good money. I was watching this episode of like Dateline one about this woman who was unfortunately murdered in Las Vegas, but she worked at a casino. It was her only job, and she made like $150 a year just working as a cocktail waitress. And my gosh, I could have a full-time job and do that on the side, pay off some debt, so that's part of my draw to Vegas. Yeah. But thank you for saying that, because I've really been doubting myself and been like, should I move? Maybe it's not, I've never lived in another state, even though it's not too far from California. It's a quick drive over. I'm like, no, I think I need to go. I need to do it.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. I don't want to be on my like, deathbed or in my elderly years and think I should have, I don't want to regret anything major.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that.
You're welcome.
Living in Austin, what was your biggest takeaway just about maybe making a move like that or doing a move like that with children? What was the biggest thing you learned?
I mean, I think it's, in those moments, it was like trying to find your community, trying to find your people and just learning how to establish yourself like in a new place. Like you're the new kid in town, Yeah. It's like going to school and being like the new kid. You're like, all right, everybody knows everybody. I don't know anybody. And
yeah,
and I tried to start a business from scratch too, which I did pretty good for a while. And then I'm like, I was actually flying back and forth to Chicago to take my clients. So I did keep my business open.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So then when I moved back, I still had an established business.
Yeah. Awesome. I heard Austin is a very, from what I've heard people say, it's like the San Francisco of the South. And I'm from San Francisco. So I'm like, I can't picture that in Texas. Yeah. But it's just like very artsy or I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. The city more. I lived in the suburbs, but the city definitely is very artistic.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. That's another city I definitely want to visit is Austin.
Yeah.
Okay, so we kind of discussed it, but the transition from married mom to single mom, you moved to Austin. Your parents were still here, and eventually you moved back home to live closer to your family. When you did separate and eventually divorce, how did your children react?
It was hard on them. I mean, I don't think that's where a divorce is hard. It always affects the kids. Even when you try as hard as you can to protect them, it always affects them. I've always been one to like, every decision I make, I always think, is this good for the kids or bad for the kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
My oldest struggled a lot emotionally because he was in, he started fourth grade when we moved in with my parents. So when we were in Texas, he was in third grade. Then we moved back. He started fourth grade. And then I moved into my own house when he was in sixth grade. So I feel like he took the brunt of it because he was of those ages. Whereas my younger two were still so little. They were in preschool during that time. So by the time I like actually planted them, they were in kindergarten and first grade.
Okay. What's their relationship like now with their dad as far as what you know or what you're comfortable sharing? Do they see him often? Are they close with him?
Unfortunately, they're not close with him. They will see him. They used to go by him every other weekend. And now that they're teenagers, they like being home. Their friends are here. My ex and I live like 45 minutes away from each other. So it's not like if we go by dad's, I can still see my friends. Some parents, if they live like in the same town, I feel like it's easier. But when there's like birthday parties and social stuff, and my daughter does competitive cheerleading. So, it's just, there's a lot of moving parts. And I feel like the older they get, the harder it is to do the every other weekend. So, over the last, I want to say year and a half, they're pretty much with me most of the time. So they'll go meet him for like lunch or dinner, or sometimes they get together with him. But, for Christmas, he comes to my house and I try to make sure that, for birthdays and stuff, we all get together.
Yeah. 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 My situation is pretty much similar. My son Evan likes to be at home, but he'll go over to, spend time and see his dad. But like, this is his home. And same thing, like now that he's a teenager, I was just talking to his dad yesterday and his dad's like, I don't see him anymore. We used to go to the movies every Saturday, do this or that. And I'm like, well, he's a teenager.
They don't want to.
He doesn't want to hang out with me either. It's not personal. It's just, they're just becoming themselves and they have their own lives now.
I know. I tried to do something with my kids and they all looked at me. They're like, you want me to do what with you?
Yeah. Yeah. We are not cool anymore. The only thing I can get Evan to do with me is like watch a movie that he wants to watch, like a movie he wants to watch. And so that's how I try to pull him in. I'm like, let's watch like, you know, the show Stranger Things. He really loved that show. And so, I, to be honest, had no clue what was going on, but I watched like,
but he loved it.
Yeah. He loved it. And he wanted, like, I'm like, oh, I'll watch it with you, you know, just to like spend time with him. But
exactly. Yeah,
that's pretty much all that I can get from him.
Yep.
Well, this is a good way to segue into like discussion on parenting teenagers, as we both have teenagers, and it is a very challenging experience. It's a lot different than what I thought it would be, honestly. When I thought about having a baby, the teenagers never really crossed my mind, honestly.
Right.
Like, I never thought about it. It always seemed so far away that, and just, I just never thought about what life would be like as a mom of a teen. There's a lot of like really great things about it. They're more independent. I love being able to like leave the house and go do something, go do my errands, and I can go by myself or go out to dinner. Mm-hmm. And he's here. You know, I can go do things with friends and whatever. But I don't know. To me, it's a little more stressful than having like a little one. At least that's how I feel. I don't know how you feel about parenting teens or what's complex about this phase of parented for you.
I mean, I think it's like the attitude's hard. You know, when they say things to me, sometimes I have to like breathe and think to myself, don't take it personally because they're not attacking you. They're just acting out for their age. Mm-hmm. I have a 14-year-old and I do not like the age of 14. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if we could just skip over 14, this would be great. There's days I look at him, I'm like, I love you, but I don't like you.
It's like they for me, I feel like my son's 15, so right in that age. And like, sometimes he'll do things and I'm like, did you stop and think before you did that or said that? Like, what?
No.
I don't know. You have a girl too, so maybe you can compare the two. But I feel like, you know, boys in my experience, knowing who I was as a teenager and like who I see my son is, and obviously we're two different people, but like I was always just like, is this a good decision? Should I do this? Like really kind of thinking things through. And I don't think that he does that. Like, I think he's just very impulsive and just does it, says it.
I think it's a boy thing because both my boys are very impulsive.
Yeah. And it makes that's kind of why I feel like for me, this phase is a little stressful because I feel like if you're so impulsive and you aren't really going to stop and think and breathe before you make a decision, you're going to get yourself in trouble maybe at some point, you know, just doing something you shouldn't be doing, being somewhere you shouldn't be or whatever, you know. It makes me very worried about, you know, just his decision-making skills.
Right.
And so, you know, trying to closely monitor him, but then not be too overbearing, you know, because you want them to be, you know, learn to gain independence and learn how to, you know, be independent. So it's very stressful.
No, it is for sure.
Yeah. And I feel like, I don't know how your teens are, but mine like switches on a dime sometimes, like attitude will come out of nowhere. And I'm like, what the, like, we're trying to sit and eat dinner here. Like, where did this come from? You know? And I don't know how to handle it or let, like you said, like, got to stop, take a breath, just
My middle one. My middle one's the one that does that the most.
It's difficult. Yeah. Since you have three, are there sibling arguing is totally common, but do they have those arguments amongst each other and then you have to kind of play middleman?
Oh, yeah. My younger two, they're 14 months apart and they have always been buddies. Like, since they were born. Mm-hmm. And now that they're in middle school and teenagers, like they look at each other like this one, they walk to the bus separate. I mean, it's actually kind of comical.
Yeah.
Like my son's leaving for his eighth grade trip and my daughter's like, what are we going to do this weekend? He's gone. Like she was so excited. I'm like, that's nice. She's like, but he's not going to be in the house, Mom.
That's so cute.
She's like, I don't like him. I don't want him here. And I'm like, oh.
Well, the good thing is,
I'm like, you guys used to love each other. She's like, I don't know why.
The good thing is, like, they'll probably get over it and then be, you know, once they hit their 20s and 30s, be best friends. So
that's what I'm hoping.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's actually funny how they are now.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about my least favorite subject, but a subject I can never stop talking about. But that's dating. So since you've been divorced and you've been single, have you dated and how have you embraced dating as a single parent?
I got really lucky. I met my boyfriend like 7 years ago. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And we kind of met by accident.
Okay.
I had tried a dating site. I went for coffee once and I was like, this is stupid. And I deleted the app.
Yeah. Dating apps are very, I haven't had good experiences. It's weird. It's just weird.
It is.
It's weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
I prefer the old fashioned way of like just
yep.
everybody that I've ever dated, I've like kind of already known them. And then it just transitions into something else for the most part, you know?
Yeah.
Or I meet them in person and we start, like, it's just not this weird, I don't know. It's a,
yeah.
Yeah. Dating apps are weird.
They are.
With your current partner, do you guys live together? Does he have children?
Yeah. He has a son. We don't live together. We live separate.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's too hard. Yeah. I honestly don't know how parents blend families. Mm-hmm. Like the way my kids are, you know, it's just, I don't know how that would ever work.
Yeah. I think once I was talking to one of my mom's girlfriends one time, and this was years ago, and I was like kind of complaining like, oh, I don't know if I'm ever going to meet anybody, like, and say they have kids, like talking about blending a family. And because I'd had a girlfriend go through like a very bad breakup with somebody that her kids didn't get along with his kids, and or they got along, but there was just issues. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'm like worried. Like, what if that's my circumstance? You know, the kids don't get along or there's issues. And she's like, it's better just either don't move in with the person, don't marry them yet, wait till, or don't date at all. Or, you know, if you're going to date, don't move in with them and wait till your kids are older. Because once the kids are older, out of the house, they have their own thing going on. It's not as hard to blend the families, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the kids are off doing their own thing. They're probably not living with you or, you know, they're just adults. And the only time really that your kids will interact is like holidays or big family events. And so it's just a lot easier. So just kind of
it is.
Wait, she said.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of where we're at. I mean, it works.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. We're very good. Yeah.
And it's good that we're both on the same page with it. You know, I feel like, you know, a lot of couples don't always see eye to eye.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, too, as you get older, there's, you know, you've been married. I don't know if he's been married. But like you just like there's no need to like rush into anything. Like
exactly.
It's like we know we've been down that road. You know what being married is like and having the kids and making it harder than we expected. And so it's like, why rush into getting married, moving in? Like just,
I know,
you know, take your time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, that's great. All right. So let's talk about your podcast. And that obviously ties in with your esthetician services and the work that you do. So tell us the name of your podcast and where you can find it and just how, you know, your work, because it's amazing. We've talked about it before.
It's called The Functional Esthetician. So I've been an esthetician for 23 years. And then recently I got licensed in functional medicine. So it's about bringing internal wellness and like what we put into our body and how it impacts our skin.
We talked about this the first time that we met, but you know, I have really bad eczema. And I was telling you how I know a lot of the root of it and why it won't go away is unprocessed trauma. And having had that trauma move through my body, still kind of carrying it.
Yeah.
And that's literally what you help with is kind of just the wellness as a whole, you know, not just the like typical things that an esthetician can do to help clear up your skin or that maybe something a dermatologist would prescribe or work with you to do, but really like the inner wellness of what you're eating, how it's affecting your gut and your digestive system and just kind of just being your best self to really help move things through and look your best self, I guess, you know.
Right.
Basically, yeah.
Because most people don't realize like when our skin has like acne or eczema or any kind of flare up, that's a sign like something's not right in your body, whether it's, you know, gut related, food related, it could be trauma. You know, I mean, there's so many factors. But yeah, it's like when your skin's screaming, you have to like look inside and try to figure out what's causing that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, her podcast is great. I've listened to a few episodes. It's awesome, too, because her episodes are like, you know, 15, 20 minutes, really quick. You can listen to them in the car when you're like driving to pick up and, you know, get really good tips and advice. It's a wonderful, wonderful podcast if you're, you know, into wanting to improve your skincare and just wellness as a whole. It's wonderful. It's called The Functional Esthetician. That's the title of your podcast. Yep. And where is it available?
You can find it on Apple and Spotify.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. And then do you have like an Instagram or anything like that you want to plug?
I do. Yeah. My handle is @skindeepil, as in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And then my website's the same, skindeepil.com.
Okay. So there, anybody that's local to you can book appointment with you.
Yep. Yeah.
Awesome.
And I do virtual functional medicine consultations too.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Very cool. Very cool. Okay. Well, do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to say just about, you know, your experience being a single mother or just motherhood in general or just anything else you'd like to say?
Yeah. You know, I feel like so many women struggle with that like tug of war in their heart. Like, do I leave? Do I stay? I just want to encourage those moms that are kind of thinking about it. Just go for it, because leaving a relationship that isn't serving you, that's self-care.
Right.
And I don't think moms look at it that way. They think, oh, yes, you're going to hurt your kids. Yes, it's going to be hard on you. Yes, it's going to be hard on your kids, but it is a form of self-care and you have to put yourself first.
I agree. I definitely agree. And I think it's harder if you stay, harder for your children if you stay in this really dysfunctional marriage or place. It's harder for your kids. So there'll be a tough period in the beginning trying to transition when the separation happens. But in the long run, if it's not working, it's better to, you know, move on. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, thank you so much, Samantha. I appreciate your time and you coming on and telling us about your life as a single mother. Check out her podcast. It really is a great, great podcast.
Thank you.
And yeah. So thank you so much. We'll wrap up there.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Bye.